You know that very specific, very modern type of disappointment you get with current AI?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
Right. I call it the travel planner problem. You go to a chatbot, you're super excited, you ask for a 2-week itinerary for Japan, and it is absolute magic.
Right, for about 30 seconds.
Exactly. For 30 seconds, it gives you the bullet points. Day one, Tokyo. Day two, Kyoto.
Visit this shrine, eat at this sushi place.
Yes. It looks beautiful on the screen, but then, you close the laptop and you have this sinking realization.
But you still have to do all the work.
I still have to go to the airline site to book the tickets. I still have to go to the hotel site. I have to check if that sushi place is actually open on Tuesdays or if it, I don't know, burned down 3 years ago. The AI did the talking, but I'm still stuck doing all the walking.
It's the classic brilliant assistant who refuses to pick up the phone
Oh,
problem.
that is exactly it.
It knows what to do, but it won't actually do it for you.
Right. And that frustration is actually the perfect launching pad for today's deep dive, because we are moving past the era of AI that just chats. We're looking at the next phase, AI that actually does things. We are talking about agentic AI.
And this is a massive shift. We aren't just talking about a smarter version of the chatbots we have right now.
No.
We are talking about systems that have agency. They take action, they plan goals, and crucially, they execute them without you holding their hand.
And to guide us through this, we're digging into a really comprehensive technical breakdown titled Core Fundamentals of Agentic AI Systems and Design.
Great piece.
It really is. It was written by Nishita Kandekar and published by Avahi on February 20, 2026. And look, I want to start with a number from this piece that honestly, it shocked me.
I have a feeling I know which one you're going to bring up.
74%.
Yep, that's the one.
According to the industry research cited here, over 74% of enterprise AI initiatives fail to deliver long-term value.
It's a staggering failure rate.
It is. We've been hyping this tech for years. Why is it flopping 3/4 of the time? I mean, is the tech just not good enough?
That's the common misconception, actually. It's not that the models are bad.
Oi.
The AI is smart. It's highly accurate. The problem is that in a real business workflow, accuracy isn't enough if the system is passive.
Passive, right?
Most of those failing initiatives are building tools that require a human to copy-paste data, prompt the model, check the output, and then manually move it to the next step.
So they're building really expensive, fancy calculators when what they actually need is an employee.
Precisely. They are building what the source calls passive assistance.
Okay.
The mission of this deep dive, and really the entire focus of the Avahi article, is figuring out how we cross the bridge to active operational components.
Active operational components. I like that. So we need to look under the hood at what makes an AI capable of operating independently. Okay, so let's get our definitions straight before we tear apart the architecture here. We're using this term agentic AI. How is that legally defined here? Because agent can mean anything from a spy to a customer service rep.
In this context, agency comes down to one specific word, and that is intent.
Intent. That feels like a very human word.
It is, but in engineering terms, it separates reaction from action. Conventional AI, the stuff we use most days, is reactive.
Like a vending machine.
Yes, exactly. You put a coin in, you get a gumball out, input, output, stop. It doesn't care what happens next. It has no internal drive. Agentic AI, on the other hand, acts to achieve a defined goal. It proactively decides, what do I need to do next to get this done?
The source material has a comparison table that I found really helpful for this. It describes conventional AI as one-time reasoning, but agentic AI is described as a continuous decision loop.
Think of it like the difference between a GPS and a chauffeur.
Oh, okay, I'm with you. Let's play this out.
So a GPS is conventional AI. It is incredibly smart. It
Yeah.
knows every road, every speed trap, every traffic jam.
Right.
You type in airport, and it calculates the perfect route.
It doesn't drive the car.
It doesn't drive the car. You have to turn the wheel. You have to hit the brakes.
Yeah.
If there's a road closure the GPS didn't see, you are the one who has to stress out and figure out a detour while the GPS just spins saying recalculating.
Which is objectively the worst sound in the world when you're running late for a flight.
It truly is. Now, agentic AI is a chauffeur. You don't tell the chauffeur turn left, then turn right. You say, get me to the airport by 5:00 p.m.
You give them the goal.
You get in the back seat and answer emails. The chauffeur drives, navigates traffic, maybe takes a weird back road you've never seen because they know there's an accident ahead, and they drop you off at the terminal.
Because the chauffeur takes responsibility for the outcome.
Exactly. The GPS provides information, the chauffeur takes responsibility, and mechanically this happens through a loop.
The continuous decision loop we mentioned.
Yes. The source describes it as specific phases: thinking, acting, and learning.
Okay.
It's not linear. The agent reasons about the problem, executes a task, evaluates if it worked, and then...
And this is the part conventional AI can't do.
Right. It learns from that result to decide the next step.
So if it tries to book a flight and the API fails, it doesn't just crash and give up.
No. It thinks, okay, that didn't work. Let me try a different flight, or let me check a different airline. It self-corrects.
Which sounds great, but also incredibly complex to build. I mean, you can't just write a text prompt that says, be a chauffeur.
No, absolutely not. You can't just hook up a large language model to the internet and hope for the best.
Right.
You need a robust system architecture. The Avihi article actually breaks this down into 7 core components.
7. Okay, let's unpack these. I want to group them so we can visualize this sort of digital being we're building.
Sure.
Let's start with the head, the part that knows what it wants and sees the world. The source lists goals and perception.
So goals are your starting point, but unlike a prompt where you say, write me an email, a goal for an agent needs to be specific, measurable, and bounded.
Okay.
You aren't giving it a task, you're giving it an objective.
Like increase lead generation by 10% this week.
Exactly. That's a clear objective.
Yep.
But to achieve that, the agent needs perception. This is component number 2. The agent needs to see.
That it doesn't have eyes.
No, so it uses pipelines.
Pipelines, like data pipes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
APIs, webhooks, database connections. It needs to ingest data from the digital world.
Okay, I see.
It needs to know the state of your CRM, the content of your incoming emails, maybe even data from IoT sensors in a warehouse.
Wow.
Because if it can't perceive the environment, it's hallucinating in a vacuum. It's like trying to drive with a blindfold on.
Okay, so it has a goal. And it has perception. It knows what it wants and it can see the road. Now we need the brain.
Right.
The source talks about the reasoning engine and planning.
This is where the large language model usually lives. It serves as the reasoning engine. It analyzes the context from those perception inputs we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But the real magic, and where a lot of these systems fall apart if they aren't built right, is in planning. The source mentions task decomposition here, which sounds like corporate speak, but I get the sense it's actually critical to the engineering.
Oh, it's vital. If you give an agent a big goal, like plan a corporate retreat, it cannot just do that. It's too big.
So abstract.
Yes. The agent has to break it down. First, survey employees for dates. Second, research venues. Third, compare costs.
It's creating a to-do list.
Exactly. The agent has to decide the sequence. What do I do first, second, and third?
And crucially, what happens if step 2 fails? Like, let's say the venue is booked.
That is where adaptability comes in. A standard script would just error out. Error. Venue full. Game over.
Right. The script just stops.
But an agent replans. It says, okay, that step failed. Let me go back to my search step, adjust the parameters to look for hotels within 20 miles instead of 10, and try again.
That is the difference between a tool breaking and an employee solving a problem.
Exactly. It creates a dynamic workflow rather than a static one.
Okay, so we have the brain. Now we need the hands. The source calls this the action layer.
This is the bridge between thinking and doing. The action layer allows the AI to actually touch the world.
So clicking buttons, running scripts, calling APIs.
Yes. This is what allows it to send that email, update that Salesforce record, or deploy code.
So it's not just thinking about booking the flight, it's pressing buy.
Right. But before it presses buy, it usually needs to consult the wisdom layer. The source calls this memory and feedback.
I found the memory part really interesting, actually, because chatbots usually have the memory of a goldfish. They close the tab, and they forget you ever existed.
It's totally true. But for an agent to be useful, it needs persistent state.
Persistent state.
It uses things called vector databases to remember past decisions and outcomes. So it remembers, oh, last time I tried this marketing strategy for this client, it failed. I shouldn't do that again.
It's building experience. It's actually learning on the job.
Yes. And that leads right into self-reflection. The source highlights this as perhaps the most human-like component.
Because it evaluates its own work.
Exactly. It asks itself, did that action get me closer to the goal? If the answer is no, it changes strategy.
Oh.
It's a feedback loop that allows for continuous improvement without a human stepping in to say, hey, you messed up.
So we have these 7 components working together. Perception, goals, reasoning, planning, action, memory, reflection. It really is a complete system.
It is.
But how do you actually structure the team, because mm-hmm. the source moves on to architecture next, and it distinguishes between single agent and multi-agent systems.
This is where it gets really interesting for enterprise design. A single agent system is exactly what it sounds like. One brain handling the reasoning, planning, and execution.
Which seems fine for simple stuff, like go fetch me this document.
Right. It's great for data retrieval or simple linear tasks, but it has a very high cognitive load.
Okay.
Imagine one employee trying to be the CEO, the marketing manager, the sales rep, and the IT guy all at once.
They are going to burn out instantly. Or they're going to start making really bad decisions because they're overwhelmed.
Exactly. They get confused. So for complex problems, you build a multi-agent system. You split the responsibility.
Corporate team analogy.
Yes. The source uses that great analogy of a corporate team. You create specialized agents.
And the source lists some specific roles here that I thought were fascinating. We've got the planner, who I assume sets the strategy.
Yep.
The executor, who does the work.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the critic.
I love the critic role.
It sounds so stressful. An AI whose only job is to criticize the other AI. Why do we even need that?
It is absolutely essential. Think about large language models. They can hallucinate. They can be confidently wrong.
Oh, very true.
If you have an executor agent writing code or drafting a financial report, you don't want to just send that out blindly.
Definitely not.
You have a separate critic agent that reviews the work for errors, logic gaps, or safety violations before it ever reaches a human.
It's literally AI auditing AI.
Precisely. The planner sets the strategy, the researcher gathers the context, the executor does the work, and the critic checks the quality.
And they all just communicate with each other.
They do. It reduces the error rate significantly because no single agent has to be good at everything.
That makes sense.
The coder agent doesn't need to be good at HR policy because the policy agent handles that.
The source also mentions a design pattern here called REACT, reason plus act. Is that related to how these agents interact?
That's the standard pattern for how these individual agents operate internally. It stands for reason, act, observe.
Okay.
The agent reasons about the situation, takes an action, observes the result, and repeats.
It's that loop we talked about earlier.
Yes. Formalized into a design pattern. It's very effective for exploratory tasks where the agent needs to figure things out as it goes rather than following a rigid flow chart.
So it's essentially the scientific method sped up and applied to business tasks.
That is a great way to put it.
Okay, I have to play devil's advocate here for a second.
Go for it.
We are talking about autonomous agents, making plans, executing actions, clicking buttons, criticizing each other. What stops this from going completely off the rails?
You mean the runaway train scenario.
Exactly. If I tell an agent, maximize profit for my t-shirt company, what stops it from selling all the company assets, firing everyone, and betting the cash on a horse race? Because that technically maximizes cash on hand.
That is a very real concern. And it's why the Abhi source spends a lot of time on safety, ethics, and control. Mm-hmm. You cannot have agentic AI without alignment and constraints.
Boundaries, the source calls them.
Right. You define what the agent cannot do just as clearly as what it should do. You set guardrails.
That's right.
It's not just about giving it a gas pedal. You have to install the brakes and the steering lock.
And one of the guardrails mentioned is human in the loop.
That is the most common safety net, especially right now.
How does that work in practice?
For critical steps, like transferring money over a certain amount or publishing a press release, the agent can do all the prep work, but it requires a human to press the final approve button. It's semi-autonomous.
So it drives you to the airport, but you have to open the door yourself.
Or at least you have to nod at the chauffeur before he lets you out. It keeps the human accountable for the major decisions.
Got it. And access control seems pretty vital here, too.
Absolutely. You limit which APIs or data the agent can touch. You don't give the junior intern the keys to the server room.
Hopefully not.
And you don't give an AI agent root access to your entire infrastructure. You give it the least privilege necessary to do the job.
The source also really stresses monitoring and logs. It calls it a black box recording. Why is that specific term used?
This is crucial for trust. Because the AI is making decisions, remember, it's not following a script. You need explainability.
Meaning you need to know why it did what it did.
Exactly. If the agent denies a loan application or sends a specific email or shifts a budget allocation, you need to be able to look at the logs and see its reasoning chain.
I did X because I thought Y would happen.
Yes. Without that, you can't debug it. You just have a ghost in the machine doing things you don't understand.
And you definitely can't trust it.
And trust is the currency here. We are moving from a world where we use computers, to a world where we delegate to them. You don't delegate to someone you don't trust.
That's really the summary of this whole transition, isn't it? We are moving from micromanagement, typing every word, clicking every link, to delegation.
That is the shift. We are moving from tools to teammates.
And the source mentions that companies like Avahi are already building these systems for things like lead capture, content creation, predictive insights. They're aiming to reduce that operational overhead.
It makes complete sense. If you can automate the decision-making process, not just the data entry, you speed up the entire business.
Right.
You free up human capital to do things that require actual creativity and empathy.
But this leads me to a final, slightly provocative thought.
Okay.
The source explicitly says that agents take responsibility for outcomes.
Yes, that is the definition of agency.
So if the AI is responsible for the outcome, what happens to the human manager?
It raises an uncomfortable question.
Are we managing the work anymore, or are we just watching the machines work?
I think our role changes. We stop being operators who turn the cranks and push the buttons. We become architects of goals.
Architects of goals.
Our value shifts to defining the right objectives and designing the right constraints. The skill set becomes less about execution and more about strategy, oversight, and taste.
Architects of goals. I really like that. It sounds much better than person who fixes the AI when it gets stuck.
Well, there will probably be a fair bit of that, too, at least for the next few years. We are still in the early days.
Very true. So to everyone listening, think about your week. Look at your to-do list. What is one objective, not a task, but an objective, that you would delegate right now if you trusted an agent enough to handle it?
That's a great question.
Would you let it plan your vacation? Or would you let it manage your inbox?
I'd definitely start with the inbox. Let the critic agent handle the spam and the planner prioritize the rest.
I think I'd go with the vacation planning. I really want that chauffeur experience. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of agentic AI. It's a brave new world of autonomous chauffeurs and digital critics.
Always a pleasure.
Catch you on the next deep dive.